This is a Momentum Media production.
Property Investing Insights, your authority on all things property investing, finance and wealth creation with Wright Property Group.
And welcome back, Phil Tarrant, co-host of Property Investing Insights. We're very special episode of this podcast, which we've now been recording for many, many years. A lot of you may have heard or known Steve Waters, who passed away a couple of weeks ago now. So it's still pretty raw for the whole Wright Property Group family. And I've been thinking in the background how best to acknowledge Steve's life and this podcast, which I've enjoyed recording with him for many, many years, along with his business partner, Victor Kumar. And you know, I thought long and hard about it. I really hadn't wanted to rush discussing Steve's passing on this podcast until the Wright Property Group family and Steve's family has gone through the motions of working out what next. I was fortunate to have spent quite a lot of time with Victor Kumar recently as we acknowledge and recognise Steve's passing and regaling a lot of the stories that we've had, giving him a hard time for many, many years. So I don't think we can give him too much of a hard time anymore, but I would assume he would expect us to still continue the good fun and the camaraderie and the bit of skullduggery that we have on this podcast. So unfortunately, Steve is no longer able to join us on this particular podcast, but myself and Victor Kumar have continued and will continue to press ahead with Property Investing Insights because it is such a well-loved and well-liked podcast. We've lost our third leg on this one, so indeed, whether or not we're going to be able to keep it up and make it as good as what it was with Steve, but we have many, many good memories of our time on this podcast, sharing stories around property investment with Steve Waters. Steve will not be forgotten. He has a long legacy within the property investment space, and I'm going to keep today's discussion around Steve's role inside of property investment and the property investment community rather than his personal life. And I think that's appropriate. And what I've asked and what we've asked is a whole bunch of folks from within the property investment community, both clients of Steve's and Wright Property Group's and Victor Kumar's, and also the property professionals that both of us knocked around with for many, many years, just to give us a couple of words and regale us and reminisce about Steve and Steve's role in property. Steve and people still talk to me about it. They frame Steve and Victor is a couple of the OGs of property investment buyers agency. They've been at this for a couple of decades and in many ways are a foundational stone to property investment and buyers agents in Australia. They were the first of what has now become many people who have chosen buyers agency as a career. And in many ways, Steve and Victor, and today we're talking about Steve in particular, has shaped and crafted what this profession looks like and will look like into the future. A couple of decades ago, before these guys got started at it, there was not a lot of people doing this. And they're generation one, the first generation. I've been sort of thinking in the background, trying to name the generations of mapping and monitoring this particular profession. But Steve and Victor is generation one, the foundation stones to buyers agencies and property investment advisory in Australia. And Steve will be remembered and regarded and considered for the work he's done in that space. So today I just really wanted to get Victor back in the studio after we've had a bit of a hiatus as we've mourned Steve's loss. But we're back in business and Property Investment Insights will continue. We'll continue to grow. We've got a range of different ways we're going to be framing and shaping it with the void that has now been left with Steve. But hopefully we can pull our socks up, kick on, press on, because I know that's what Steve would want us to do. And that's what we're going to do today. Vic, how you going, mate?
Good, mate. Good. Truer words have never been spoken before. Yes, Steve was one of the stalwarts of the industry. Mm. And there's a lot of work that he has done in the background that many people aren't aware of, right? As an example, for over a decade, he was a board member of PIPA. Now, of course, convention could say that he just didn't like change and that's why he didn't jump off the board. But he certainly was instrumental in making PIPA one of the go-to bodies of the industry and certainly did a big recruitment drive to get a lot of more professionals to actually become part of it and working towards the regulation of the industry in itself, right? So certainly someone that has made a big, big impact on property investing in Australia.
He was a timeless advocate and campaigner for this industry. And again, we're talking about Steve's role in this industry. I do acknowledge Chris's wife and Steve and Chris's kids, who no doubt will listen to this podcast, and they might not actually know that their dad actually...
He was famous.
in property investment circles, you know, both yourself and Steve are really well regarded for the work you've done. Yes, you've created a very successful business together, but it's what happened behind the scenes and Steve's tireless focus and connectivity with his clients and even his colleagues and competitors. You know, it is a tight sector, property investment advisor and property buyers, and it is competitive. But, you know, he was always able to step up and show that level of camaraderie and sensibility around how to cultivate a better industry collectively rather than getting involved in some of the sort of competitive skullduggery. Mm-hmm. And he's been very well regarded and considered by his peers and colleagues as a result of that. And I was fortunate enough to sit on the board with Steve on PIPA, the Property Investment Professionals Australia, for many, many years before I sort of stepped down and thought, well, I can probably do more doing podcasting. But the professionalism of Steve and how he how he shaped and framed his view and his attention and attitude towards property investment, an unregulated industry, but helping to cultivate a standard, best practice standards for how this will operate into the future. So it's a quiet hand of Steve Waters that probably a lot of people didn't know about, sort of shaping and crafting his industry. And he wouldn't have told you about it because he was a pretty sort of humble bloke.
Yeah.
But he did have that quiet hand.
Mm. And the testimony to it is that after every Christmas break, we'd come back and Steve would be talking about how he's gone on holidays. He usually would go down Foster and he would then say, oh, someone came up to me and said, oh, you know, started talking to me as if I was supposed to know them. And I'm thinking, okay, Steve did not have a good memory for faces and names, right? So he's sort of racking his brain to say, do I know this? And then they pop up to say, oh, I already know you because I listened to you on the podcast, or I've been following you through your Facebook lives and through our in-person events in Parramatta and St. Kilda. Mm. And so he'd always be very, very surprised as to how people would recognize him. And that was testimony to him not being
too full of himself. Did he like it? Was he sort of like, oh,
He was genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
He'd be genuinely surprised, yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's what happens when you're a podcaster, which is very modern and popular these days. But, it's good to get you back in the studio, Vic, and we've got sort of some plans for how we'll continue to shape and evolve this particular podcast moving forward, introducing some of the other Right Property Group team into the podcast, which is, for a lot of people, they may only know Steve or Vic because you're both on the front line.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of talent behind us.
There's a lot of talent behind the scenes, very capable cadre of professionals who, in many ways, were the engine that kept you guys sort of focused on path. I know you're very much on the front line now working with clients, your own clients and also Steve's clients, and you'll continue to do that over time. But, you know, getting back to Steve's influence in the industry and helping to shape it. We've got some people who've sent us a video who knew Steve and knew Steve well and worked with him in many ways. So we're going to go to the first video and we'll just play them and you'll see it online as well wherever you're tuning into this visually. And myself and Vic will just give some sense to what these people have to say, and some of them are clients, some of them are professionals, some of them essentially, what do you call them, competitors who are frenemies, I guess that's probably a good way to do it, and also a colleague. So let's go to the first, our first video, Ben Kingsley, and a lot of you will know Ben because he has the second or the third best?
Second best podcast, according to Steve, right?
The second best property podcast in Australia, and that's The Property Couch, which he co-hosts with Bryce. He's also the CEO and the founder of Empower Wealth. Was a really good,
one of the good
advisory
guys.
They do everything. Ben sat on the board with myself and Steve on PIPA for many years, and I think Ben is now the chairman of the Property
Picker
Property Investment Consumers of Association. Got that right?
Yeah, okay. Something like that. Yeah.
Anyway, so I've got Jordan here, who's our producer. He's going to throw to these videos. So let's go to the first one, Jordan, if you don't mind. Ben Kingsley.
Steve was one of the good guys of our industry, and throughout the course of the many years that I knew Steve, he demonstrated that in so many ways. Here's a couple of examples of some of the actions, you know, that he backed up in the behaviour, in the view that he had around the clients that he looked after. There were many times where Steve would ring me and say, "Hey, Ben, look, I've got a client who's looking for this particular need, and at the moment we can't help them. So I was just wondering whether you could help them out." And I know he did that with other also industry peers as well. Now, that meant, number one, that he always put the customer first. He was always looking for their outcome above anything else. And so on those particular occasions, we would sit down and chat and see whether we could workshop something, allowing them to see whether we could help them. Or if we couldn't, I'd also potentially talk to Steve about talking to someone else in the industry who we thought we could trust to basically do the right thing by the customer. The second story really is around how he paid it forward. So as one of the thought leaders in our industry and the way in which he conducted himself, he became part of the Property Investment Professionals of Australia. He then ultimately joined the board, and he was a big advocate for the code of conduct in terms of how professional you would be and how you would build up your skill sets to then be able to look after clients and the money that was entrusted to us as their trusted advisors to be able to go out and potentially find and negotiate on a property, and obviously the right property group also now doing mortgages and those type of things as well. So you can get a sense of basically the man that Steve was. He was an absolute ripper. I'm going to miss him dearly. We had some incredible long conversations over the journey. You know, we'd always check in on each other every few months just to see how things were going. And yeah, he was an absolute ripper of a fella, and I miss him dearly. And I wish that his legacy will obviously live on throughout the course of people like ourselves telling our stories in terms of what a great man he was and the impact that he made on so many lives. And so I think from that point of view, I really, yeah, I'm going to miss him dearly. So I hope that, you know, this message gets out there to everyone to understand just what a terrific fella he was and what a tremendous legacy he leaves behind. But we'll miss you dearly, Steve. Love you, mate.
Nice one. Thanks for that, Ben. We do appreciate it. And it was good to see you the other week as we sort of marked, acknowledged Steve's passing. I used to catch up with Ben and Steve a fair bit and try and right the wrongs of the world. But I think you get good sense there to the recognition of Steve's capabilities as a property professional and helping to shape and craft this industry. Ben's, you know, he's very well regarded in this space and still championing the investor as Steve has always done.
Yep, absolutely. And these long conversations, I would be sitting in the office next door and Steve would call Ben and the conversation would literally go on for hours. Like that, let's start with talking about the weather, then it'll morph to something else and eventually morph to, you know, Ben's time in the Whit Sundays and how Steve was going to go to the Whit Sundays and try sailing. He had this romantic idea of sailing, but every time he'd go on to book the sailing trip, he'd chicken out because he didn't know how to sail.
I know Ben pretty well, and I could see why Ben and Steve got on so well. But Ben's an absolute open book. He's big on sharing, and he's very open and transparent. And I could see how that resonated to fuel many conversations with them, trying to work the wrongs of the property investment industry, and Ben's always a great collaborator when it comes to sort of building property related businesses. So I can see the connectivity. Thanks again, Ben. We do appreciate those very kind words. They left us. Jordan, we're going to move to our next video contribution from Mitchell Burge. I know Mitchell Burge. G'day, Mitch. You're probably tuning into this. I think Mitchell and Steve are probably, I know Mitchell's been a long-term
client
of Wright Property Group, but I think Mitchell and Steve probably much preferred talking about fishing than wealth property. Creation through property, but they got both done really well. So let's play the video, Jordan.
I met Steve from the Wright Property Group through a very dear friend of mine and mentor, Alex Whitlock from Sterling Publishing. Now, over the years, Steve and I just got on. Steve and I both fished, became good friends, and in a very short time, he helped make me wealthy. I liked the business plan Alex and Steve put together, and he introduced me to a much bigger network. And within a very short period, I had a plan outlined with self-managed super fund, a property portfolio, which is now in excess of $10 million and growing. And what it actually did for me was set me up so when inflation and interest rates went up, and it was very expensive thing to hold. I flipped to a lot of money in the bank and I'm still laughing. And in business as well, just talking to him about business and mentoring and just day-to-day things. Now, I hadn't bought a property off Steve now for many, many years, but Steve would still go out of his way to stop in at my house or check in on me, see how I was going, see how my portfolio, make sure my interest rates are right. He still kept an eye on from a distance, making sure everything was all right, even though I hadn't placed an order for a property for about 6 years. So as a client and a mate, he just, it was a lot more than that. More than anything, he was just a good human being. A genuine human being, became a very good friend, fished with him, fished competitions with him. And like Alex Whitlock, more than anything, he became a mentor. Some people in this world, I believe, excel to certain heights where they've achieved so much, they feel a duty to help people around them. Steve was definitely one of those people. Well, I can say, Steve, mate, you touched my life, many others, and you'll be missed.
Nice one. Thanks, Mitchell. Was Steve a fisherman before a property professional, or was the other way around, you reckon?
I think he was a terrible fisherman. He was a really good property expert. He did have this tendency, if he wanted to sit and think, he would pick up his boat and go out 30 kilometers out in the open waters and just sit there in pitch black, just thinking. And he'd come in red-eyed the next day and say, "Oh, Steve, where have you been? Have you slept?" And he'd turn around and say, "Well, actually, I was out on the boat, just sitting there," right? And so we would get concerned about him going out alone, but he was someone that was over-cautious, right? You'd think that he's taking risks, but he would put so many safety nets in place that it was almost like he was an old woman afraid to even step out.
The old man of the sea.
the old man in the sea, that's it.
and I think Mitch hit the nail on the head with that, and I think the skill of Steve, and it was absolutely genuine, but he was able to find commonality with every single person he had a relationship with.
That was a great skill that he had, right? Is within seconds he would find something common.
Yeah.
And it would be a genuine thing. It was not something that was put on. It was just him, right? He would find within seconds something that was very common and would then make it really easy to have conversation. And when we were having networking meetings or meeting with clients, I would hang off Steve's coattails because I'd learn how to break the ice.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know if you asked the question, how I first property ever bought was under Right Property Group's stewardship and building out the Smart Property Investment Portfolio. I don't know how many we probably bought with you guys. It'd be 15 or 16 properties or something or other. I still remember the first traveling around Campbelltown, probably back in 2013. Yeah, with you and Steve. And then somehow that just naturally gravitated to me and Steve out in the western suburbs of Sydney doing stuff, which is sort of, you were more Campbelltown-ish. He was more sort of, you know, some of the nicer parts of the western suburbs of Sydney. Did you guys sit there and just go, "I don't want to deal with Phil. You're gonna have to deal with him."
He got the short straw.
I think he probably did, because he used to get me on the phone all the time, just you know, whinging and complaining about my lot and the world. But no doubt that's what a lot of his clients did, right? Just he's really good sounding board, and he always had time.
Yeah, he did have time, right? And usually, his meetings, when they were face-to-face, the girls in the office would know to block out the next slot as well, because he'd just talk.
Just talk. But, you know, it seems to work. And I think Mitchell Burge, thanks again, Mitch, for sending that through, is a testament to that, and how, you know, it's an interesting relationship, the relationship you have with your buyer's agent or property strategist and or your mortgage broker, because you essentially got to strip yourself naked for you guys to do a good job.
Yep.
You need to come in, you know, warts and all, and this is what I'm trying to achieve and why, and this is where I am right now. So, you know, it's part science and skills, but it's part sort of philosophy and psychology, right? Yeah. And Steve was very apt at that as well.
He was very apt at that. And one of the key things that he had, which has become the mantra of RPG, is that it's clients first, profits after.
Mm.
And both Steve and I have advocated for that right from the beginning, right? Because when we started the buyer's agency, we could see that there was a lot of people floating in the fringes that were basically property marketeers that were disguising themselves as buyer's agents.
Which still happens today.
And a lot of times Steve would turn around and say, well, you shouldn't be buying, right? And this is something that we still do till today, is that we'll turn around and tell you when it is not the right time to buy or when you should stop. And of course, also giving you a gentle guidance if you're going too slow as well.
Yeah, which I know Steve and you have done to me before, going, come on, you've told me you want this, to get your stuff sorted out, right? Yep. And again, you need to have a good relationship with your buyer's agent as a result of it. Jordan, let's go to the next video. This is Munsrul Khan. Munsrul is the founder, managing director of KHIA Partners. Munsrul's my accountant for all my property and private wealth stuff. I know both yourself and Steve are close to Munz. You operate in and around the same circles. I only saw Munsrul the other week, and he's doing stuff with, you got some medical?
That's right.
What, some medical? You have to tell me about next time we get together, like medical professionals and buyer's agency, which I find really intriguing. Maybe we can park that and you can tell us about it.
Absolutely.
In the next podcast. But Jordan, let's throw over to Munsrul Khan from KHI.
Steve Waters, we began our journey together all the way about 16 years ago in Campbelltown. That small practice that we had from our end in Campbelltown and Wright Property Group was right at the beginning as well. And we started our journey there. Years and years and years I attended your seminar, the Wright Group Property Seminar. And every fortnight is that I attended in the audience and I shared the stage with you a number of times over the years. There is so much a story. There's so many stories about Steve's. Steve was a good man. Steve was a kind man. Steve was a wise man. Steve was a man of empathy. Steve was a man of humanity. Steve was a funny man. He had this enormous sense of humor, right? Very witty sense of humor. Steve was a people person. And Steve and I, we shared our love, for mutual love for the property. So in many ways, I look back to our practice now. In many ways, I look back to my personal life and I say, Steve, you have enriched both of our practice as well as our personal life in many, many, many different ways. Not only many of our clients, you've given them to us from day one. Many of our clients, you have passed our name to many, many, many different ventures. On the other side is we also had the privilege of looking after your tax and accounting of the business over the years. And, you know, there was a period of time for years and years and years that we used to meet on a breakfast once in every week. Every week we used to meet that breakfast, right? And there were so many stories that we've shared and so many things that we've learned mutually. Steve, you're a man who will always stay with me in my heart. Steve, you are a man who will always stay with KHI in terms of everything that you've done. Gone too early, and from our mind is the love will stay, and your remembrance will be with us. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, my friend. Our blessings on everything, our condolences for the family, and we will always be there for your family. Thank you, Steve.
Awesome, Munsrul, and I must point out, it's the first time I've ever seen Munsrul not wearing a tie.
Yeah, that's right. It's probably because he needed to think clearly because ties strangle clear thinking, right?
And I can't remember. So I've worked with Munsrul, must be a decade, and must have come through an introduction from you guys, or maybe Ross Lacane, who we'll hear from later. But did you ever come up against Munsrul, you and Steve, back in the days when you were buying up half of Campbelltown? Do you ever remember sort of seeing him in the street? Because he's a very proactive property investor.
He is. Yeah. He did keep a very low profile and was buying quietly. And he started his business when Steve and I merged our businesses. And pretty much he was the third floor down in our office.
Oh, so you were in the same block?
Same building.
Campbelltown.
In Campbelltown. Right? So we got introduced to each other by my solicitor, who I've done a whole lot of transactions with, right? So the solicitor was one of my, he was instrumental in me getting my first property, my first owner-occupied property, and we stuck together for all of our New South Wales purchases, and he introduced us together. And it was around that time that Steve and I were toying with merging our businesses, and Mansoor became instrumental in helping put together the structures.
Okay.
And naturally, we started building the business together. And Mansoor's right in us meeting every fortnight to nut out new areas, nut out business ideas and so forth. And one of the games Steve loved playing was to see whether he could get someone else to pay for the breakfast.
Okay.
So he'd march in and say, all right, breakfast is on me today. And then when the bill come, he'd continue talking until someone else would pick it up. Right.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. He still hasn't been able to one up me, because when we initially started talking about business merger, I actually managed to get him to pay for lunch, as it was, Hungry Jack's at Mount Druitt.
So. I've been there with him, don't worry. But look, Mansoor's got a great philosophy and outlook on life. He's a very capable professional, Mansoor, and I could see how it probably resonated. And we always talk about property being, you know, as a property investor, having your A-team around it, and, you know, interconnected professionals as well who see the world the same way and operate the same way. I know sort of Steve and Mansoor used to spend a lot of time together with yourself as well, but a lot of your clients would be Mansoor's clients, I would imagine, and vice versa. The biggest issue with Mansoor these days is that he's probably the best or one of the best accountants in Australia for people who invest in property. Mm-hmm. He's only got about 90 hours a week to work, right? Yeah. Which is probably what he's doing. But, you know, it's a very symbiotic relationship I know you had with Mansoor, and I know that will continue over time. But it's great to see his Mansoor's business, you know, grow much like Right Property Group, to be the powerhouses that you are today.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll have to maybe get Mansoor in for, I think, a spot on the podcast, I think, because everyone wants to hear from him. And, as I mentioned, I caught up with him the other day, and he's always quick to be curious about what you're doing in property, much like Steve was as well, and give just a guiding hand where required.
Yeah, very subtle guiding hand.
And I know, when I spoke to Mansoor, he wasn't able to come to the funeral. It was a big sort of thing for him because he was over in London doing some stuff. So, but he did get a shout out, I think, by you at the funeral for the closeness of the relationship. So thanks, Mansoor. No doubt continue to be one of the stalwarts of property investment and part of that property Right Property Group family, working with clients to, like Mitchell Burge said, I think he said it straight out, made him wealthy.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, do a lot of people frame it that way? They go, well, they made me wealthy.
They do. And there were quite a few clients that turned up at the farewell unannounced,
right?
Because they felt obliged to be there. And the amount of accolades that did flow in through the emails and the social media personal messages was next level, to the point where I'm still getting back to those emails and replying to them, because we wanted to give it the personal attention that the clients gave, right? And that's true testimony to the difference Steve and RPG has made in people's lives. And also understanding that there was never a sales pressure job with Steve or myself, for that matter. It's always been clients first, and that's the whole mantra of RPG.
So I always call it Right Property Group. Should I just be calling it RPG? Am I getting it wrong? RPG is a lot easier. It's a lot less of a RPG. But I just want to touch on that point, and if you give me some sort of – and no doubt you probably share a very similar philosophy with Steve, but this sort of bearing – did Steve connect what he did for a living – professionally with the outcome he was creating for like this? Did it matter to Steve that he was helping people become financially comfortable and if not wealthy and if not very rich through supporting them through that motion? And Mitchell sort of mentioned he kicked off with you guys and used you a lot, and then he didn't really do anything, but Steve's still checked in. Did it matter to Steve that he like was helping to change people's lives?
I think it mattered hugely, and it matters hugely to us as well, because that's the whole philosophy of it, right? If you do the right thing by your clients, they become advocates, they become friends, and the business happens in the background, right? Yeah. It's all about humanity.
Yeah, it's a good way to frame it. Like, I never really think about sort of property as a wealth creation tool, but I guess it's the outcome of it, right?
You want it to be
a bit fun on the way. We have another client here, Jordan, who's given us a couple of words. Thanks for sending this in, Nathan Green. We'll throw to Nathan.
Hi, g'day. My name's Nathan. I'm a client of RPG. I was first introduced to RPG by a friend of mine. He goes to my church, And he said to me, "Nathan, I found a really great buyer's agent. His name is Steve Waters from the Right Property Group." And so I was introduced and made contact with Steve, and I found him to be friendly and kind and interested and working on my behalf. We ended up buying three properties, and we've so far through RPG, two of which are put on granny flats, and all have gone up in value over the last few years. That's been a huge blessing to me and my family financially. But I really enjoyed sitting with Steve and having our check-ins, looking over the portfolio, talking about when the insurance was due and where the rents were. Whenever I had a problem, I could go to Steve and ask him, "Hey, what should I do with this? Can I have your advice on this?" And he always made time for me. In our conversations, he was so friendly and so interested. And I know he had many clients, but I felt like I was the most important one. Steve and I shared Christian faith together. He'd often ask me about church and how it was going, and I would encourage him in his faith and also ask how his church was going and his connection in his Christian faith. To hear his passing was super sad. I saw him as a friend and someone who was working on my behalf. Such a blessing in my life and my family's life. Thank you, Steve, for all you've done for us.
It's very well said, Nathan.
Steve kept his faith very close to his heart, right? But every now and then he'd let slip how connected he was to the church community. But he's also, you know, very quick to make a joke, right? So when he got his fourth child, they had to upgrade his vehicle to cater for four seats, kid seats, and the two of them. And he called that the Jesus Loves You bus.
I had no real bearing on Steve's faith. It was nothing I sort of ever really sort of spoke with him about, but from the celebration of his life and his funeral, there was certainly a connectivity there. Mm. And no doubt it was in many ways a guiding hand to how he sort of approached his professional life, and which is not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all.
The golden rule, yeah. Victor.
That's it. So, when you're successful in life, you need to be successful in all facets of life, right? Not just property. And it needs to be well-rounded. And this is where faith does come in, whichever way faith plays out for you.
Yeah. So, we probably have another discussion about that another time. the philosophy of the faith in, there we go. This is a good podcast up. The faith in, the role of faith in effective property investing. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. I know you, your faith is quite close to you and your family as well. So, and I think it's important to have some sort of mantra or metric to help guide how you go about living your life. And we're talking about Steve in a professional sense. And I think Nathan there sort of echoes those sentiments around the fact that he felt like he was the most important client.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key point.
That's right. Steve was always present in the conversation. He was always present, right? So he wasn't going through the motions of having a conversation. He was genuinely interested.
Yeah. How did he sort of keep up with everyone? Did he just remember, like, who people were?
Sometimes he did need prompting, but once he prompted, then he'd come flooding back, right?
Yeah.
And over the years, what we've done is we've built a fairly robust CRM, which records all of our interactions with our clients so that we do know what's happening in their life and we do know what the direction is and what our last check-in was and our last advice was so that we can pick up the conversation from where we left off.
I'd like to see my file. I'd like to see.
Yours is the thickest one. And it says, right on top, it says, client needs lots of work.
I hope it's got a big confidential stamp on top of it, top secret. Only to be, so it's funny what you're seeing sometimes in CRMs. But thanks, Nathan. We're going to go to another video. Ricardo Fiod. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Ricardo. Jordan, if you can play the video, please.
Hey. It's not an easy task to talk about Steve, a person that I had the pleasure to meet in 2013 with Victor as well. They introduced me to a different world, a different game that I'm happily playing since then. He motivated me personally. He helped me to grow as a person, as a businessman that I am today, as an investor. Definitely part that who I am today I owe to my family and to Steve as well. Is a very nice person, a good character, always helpful, willing to to make the things happen. And he always helpful, and everything that I'm saying here will be redundant because I only have a positive feedback about this guy. So I feel sad as everyone else, but happy to be part of this moment, to dedicate my feedback to a person that really changed the way I think, the way things are in my life today. I have a healthy portfolio, happy to every single purchase. We went to ups and downs as everyone else, but honestly, I owe him a lot, I would say, a lot. It's very, very, it's very sad to see the way that things happen. I was surprised. I was caught by surprise. But this is life, right? What the most I like about Steve was his transparency. Always clear, always honest. That's one of the things that I most value in a person, transparency and honesty. So, yeah, I hope we can meet one day and maybe buy properties in heaven. I don't know if that is that possible, but anyway, I'll be happy to just keep discussing with him about this, what he taught me for the last, I would say, 11 years. Yes, we started in 2013, and I'm not an active customer because of my service limitation, but I'm still connected to these guys, and I'm happy that Steve gave me a lot. All right, thank you.
Nice one, Riccardo. He makes a good point. Mm-hmm. Steve loved the deal.
He did.
He's doing deals. Selling clouds or somewhere or other, right?
No, there's a big negotiation happening on something that's got pearls on it, and it's a gate.
Yeah. he did love the deal.
Yeah.
But the thing with Steve, and he's a bit like me as well, like whether or not you're doing million-dollar deals or you're buying something worth $50 on eBay,
mm-hmm.
he'd still have the same discipline to shop and shop and shop and chase those deals. Yeah.
And here's a secret, right? He would buy property in a flash, right? He didn't know his stuff and be hitting the price. But try get him to buy a laptop.
Yeah.
Now, it would be a 6-month process for him because he'll research it to the hilt and go around in circles until I'd have to step in and say, well, buy this one. Yeah. So he did have the tendency of really going down rabbit holes to analyze stuff if it was away from property. But when it came to property and when it came to clients, he was on the ball.
He knew it, right?
He knew it.
Yeah.
Second nature to him.
Yeah, but he loved trading around the fringes on other stuff, right? With bobcats or
that's it.
Or whatever it was. Loved a bargain.
I think we've heard enough stories of him buying stuff that was half priced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I imagine most people want half priced properties, but they're hard to find these days.
They are very
I started buying properties, it was all about sort of getting them under market value. Mm-hmm. And then now it's really sort of like, back then you used to be able to get it was back when Renaults were a thing and worthwhile doing, manufacturing equity and property is a little harder these days. But but just the discipline of renovating well, not overspending on renovations. And I think that's a real key. He liked getting his hands dirty. I know you're a great project manager, not so much on the tools. But myself and I think you came out there, we remember when we renovated that apartment in a weekend, three days.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Steve was on the tools there with me doing what he does. He can't help himself. But well said, Riccardo. And again, the impact that property investment and someone like Steve can make shaping people's lives in a positive way. So, often overlooked, I think, how people inside a property do actually make that application take place, accountants and buyer's agents and mortgage brokers like Ross LeCaine. I think Ross introduced me to you and Steve.
That's correct. Yeah, I remember sitting downstairs waiting for Ross to turn up so that he could bring us up here and introduce us.
And I remember we met in the office over the other side and I sort of said, did they introduce me to Ross? So it was Ross. And I think Ross got introduced to us through the accountant we had at that time, which is not the accountant we have today, and pretty much saying, hey, you guys need to meet these two guys, Steve and Victor, who are buying all this stuff. And we're like, oh, okay, all right, tell us about it. So I still remember that. But Ross, now a mortgage broker, one of Australia's most successful mortgage brokers for many years. He He ran and owned the Aussie Home Loans franchise in Parramatta, and also moved out to Rouse Hill. He was the mortgage broker of the year at the Australian Broking Awards for a number of different years and ran a very productive business. Subsequent to that, started up a coaching business called Billion Dollar Broker, which he continues to do today. Let's, Jordan, throw to Ross's video.
It's my pleasure to provide this tribute to Steve Waters. What an amazing man gone too soon. Personally, in dealing with Steve, he was a great mate, someone that I could always rely on, you know, for personal advice or to help me with my business. Personally, you know, Steve supported me in my property investment journey, both him and Vic through the Right Property Group. I purchased around 12 properties. Over the time, I think I built my first one in 2011. Over the last 10 or 12 years, these properties have done really, really well. And right now I'm set up financially. You know, as a mate, someone, if I needed advice or an update on where the property market or something to do with my property around renovations or any question, Steve was always there to answer those queries, and nothing was ever a trouble. And, you know, we remained mates long after, you know, we stopped doing business together. As a mortgage broker with Aussie Home Loans, we became great referral partners. We had a lot of mutual clients, and over the years we did hundreds of property transactions together, and we were in contact on, you know, a regular basis around these clients. And there's been some really good relationships built and friendships built where, you know, Steve has introduced the clients to us, or, you know, vice versa, we've introduced the clients to Steve. You know, some of the things I loved about Steve was the banter, especially the banter between him and Vic. I would attend most of the Right on Track meetings that they held at Parramatta. And, you know, what made those meetings enjoyable was, you know, seeing the banter between Steve and Vic, and, you know, they were always poking fun at each other, and it made an enjoyable place to be. Personally, one of the funny stories that I have with Steve was one of the properties he presented to me, I knocked back. It was, a one or two bedroom unit in Woolloongabba, around 200 odd thousand at the time. So they're probably going back close to 10 years ago. And this is a property that Steve would, you know, never let go, that I let that one go. And he would always rib me around the property in Woolloongabba. And I just did a quick search in Woolloongabba to see what the price is. And I think the cheapest thing on the market was around 450,000. So I probably would have doubled my money, Steve. So there you go. You probably got the last laugh. Champion bloke and a good man gone too soon. I love you, Steve.
Nice one, Roscoe. A couple of things I'd say, Vic, is the integrity of your referral relationships, I think, is some sense to not only RPG, but, you know, we're chatting about Steve today. You know, the fact that he was, you know, Ross was a client for a decade, but, you know, you have hundreds, if not thousands, of interconnected client base. So, yep. And then we saw and heard Munjul chat a little bit earlier again. So, the integrity of these relationships, it takes a long time to build that, and retaining it is tough. And Steve was very good at it.
He certainly was, and it's testimony to, you know, the systems and procedures he helped put together to put the client first and to then connect them to the right people in line with their needs, right? And people do outgrow brokers, they outgrow accountants. And it's important to have the referral to like-minded professionals. And one of the things that's consistently coming through with the tributes is that, you know, Steve valued transparency, right? And this is something that's perhaps not as prevalent in the industry. It is definitely changing. There's a lot of good players out there now. But when we started, that was one of the things that he was very pedantic about, as I am, is that you know, you need to know why you're being referred across to a client, to a professional, and if there's any money changing hands, which was never the case with us. And also importantly, whether the person we're referring to, are they in the game as well, right? Are they also property investors? Are they actively buying? And then equally importantly, or just as importantly, even after clients have gone through their buying phase, he had the knack of keeping connected with them, because the belief is that our job's never done, right? Our job's never done. Most people's thought process is that once we've found the property, that's it, right? But it's a sense of responsibility that we've found this property, we've added this to your portfolio, we have a role to get you to your goal.
Yeah, and this is one of the misnomers, and we've spoken about it for many years on Property Investing Insights, is this idea that property is a passive asset.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. So you've got to keep connected and engaged with it, and you've got to keep up with it. You've got to keep up with it.
Yep.
You know, sometimes your property portfolio moves faster than you're able to move, or you're able to react and respond to it. So again, this sort of connectivity of professional relationships is being a key driver for RBG, and we'll continue in the future. What I would say also, Vic, is it's a sage reminder, and maybe you get this feedback, maybe you don't, that it's a bit of a shame that you need something like this to happen, Steve's passing, for everyone to speak about him.
Yep.
Right. I think I used to thank him a fair bit, you know, but I'd probably give him more of a hard time, which is probably my
that's the way of thinking,
my
right?
way of doing it. But just it's just a sage reminder that you shouldn't wait for someone's passing to tell them thank you.
True.
And that's
key. Yeah, it is, absolutely. And equally importantly, I think Steve was very easy to set up. You know, Ross talked about the banter between me and Steve, and that'd be because Steve, when it came to presentations, so putting the presentations together, and he didn't have the patience. So usually I'd do the presentations, and there'd always be I'd slip in some slides of a not so flattering photo of him or a question in there that would throw Steve, and he'd always vow to get me back, but he'd forget.
I used to go out to Ridges.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are they called?
Right on track.
Right on track. Do you do them?
We
do this podcast now, which is different.
So we stopped doing that when COVID hit, and we moved that online as Facebook Live, and that reached far more people. At some stage, we would want to bring it back on.
It's this sort of romantic view of old school property investing, right? When people used to get together and have a cup of coffee and a few biscuits, and then sometimes go to there's a bar downstairs by memory. But that's sort of it's the community, right?
It is a community feel.
Anyway, well, there's some homework for you guys. Get it back. I'm sure you can roll out Munzer or Carney. He'll come and have a chat. He likes spending his Wednesdays at those things. And Roscoe. Thanks again for sending that in, Ross. Much appreciated. Jordan, we're going to go to our next video. So we've got two more. And this is Margaret Lomas. Margaret, who knew Steve well. I know Margaret pretty well. You know Margaret as well. Destiny, again, one of the adopters of property investment services, I would say. So she's highly capable educator around property investment. Both myself and Steve used to go on her show on Sky TV. For many of it's before podcasts, right?
Yes, when that's right.
That was the thing to go on to get a call from Margaret on a Tuesday, by memory, on Sky for her show. And that was when you knew you made it in property investment. If Margaret got on that show, it means that you're probably doing the right thing.
That's right.
So let's go to Margaret. Thanks, Jordan.
I first met Steve many years ago when he generously offered to help me out in any way that he could while I was setting up the Property Professionals of Australia. I learned fairly early on in our relationship that generosity was part of the fabric of who Steve was. He gave generously of his time to many of the things that we were doing at the time, and I can remember many, many times talking with Steve about property and really enjoying the input that he had to offer. He was always a great help to me on the show. He used to come to the Sky News studios and appear as a guest from time to time on my show. And he always brought with him great wisdom and certainly helped a lot of people who called into the show with their questions. One of the things that I think I liked the most about Steve was that, unlike many, many people in this industry, Steve was never jealous of other businesses, and he never set himself up in competition with other businesses. He used to say to me that there was plenty of business to go around for everybody, so there was no need to be competitive or secretive. We might as well just all share our expertise with each other and share all the information that we had with each other too. And that's a very rare thing to find in any industry, particularly in the property industry. And I always admired Steve for that. I think Steve is going to go on and leave a wonderful legacy to people in the property industry. I know from speaking with his colleagues what a wonderful man he was to work with, and I was fortunate enough to experience that firsthand for myself. I'm definitely going to miss Steve, and I find it an absolute tragedy that a man with so much to offer should be gone so soon. But I know that in the short time that Steve was on this earth, he certainly gave back tenfold what he received from life. Vail Steve, it's been my absolute pleasure to know you and to be part of your life for a small period of it.
Nice one. Thank you, Margaret. Just reminds me, I probably need to reconnect with you. So if you're tuning into this, look out for an email from me. But, you know, we've both been on Margaret's show. And, yes. And the point is Margaret is a tough marker.
Mm-hmm.
She's a tough marker, yeah. Particularly around ethics in property investment. Hence the reason why she was central to the launch of PIPA, the Property Investment Professional Australia. So if you're on a show, the integrity and cadence of your capability as a property professional is key, and you can see that resonating with her very kind words to Steve.
Mm, absolutely. And Steve's preparation of going onto her show was next level as well, right? He'd say, I've got to drive all the way there. I don't really want to do this. But then he'd just step up and go and then really show up.
Yeah.
And that was Steve through and through.
Well, I've got a secret, Vic, because when I used to go on Margaret's show, there'd be some like there'd be like, we're going to be talking about these things, mm-hmm. right? And there'd be some points. I'd call him up and go, Steve, I'm about to go on Margaret's show. These are the questions. How do I answer them?
Yep.
And he'd go, so I'd go, what about this? What about this? And he'd sort of give me heaps of information. Mm-hmm. And then I'd just sort of like,
regurgitate, you know,
make it my own, right? Yeah, that's so it. Nothing's changed. Yep. Nothing's changed. But I completely forgot about that. I'd call him, okay, I have no idea. I don't know anything about property. I don't know even why she wants me on this show. But he'd give me enough to to get away with it, right? Mm-hmm. Get away with it. But I know Margaret's still very active. In and around property investment and still has a show. So you can go and Google that and tune in and find it. And Margaret, I'll be in touch. A final video, this is one of your business partners in your mortgage broking business, mm-hmm. which is called?
There's Investify.
Investify. Okay. Investify.
Investify.
That's pretty cool.
It's a cool name.
Yeah. Mm. Who came up with that? Is that you?
I can't. I take
okay,
credit.
Okay, take credit for it. So this is Z Chua. I've got those Chua, yes. isn't it? And Z, I've had on the Smart Property Investment Show before, a very capable broker. I think a property investor become a broker or a broker become a property investor?
No, a property investor become a broker. He was a client first.
That's right.
And was working for CBA in the IT section and then became a broker.
Yeah, and a very capable investor as well. Yeah, nice one.
He's since then moved on from being an active broker to becoming a brand investor ambassador of Investify.
Yeah,
as he concentrates on other ventures as well.
Okay, oh, very good. Jordan, let's throw to the Z.
Steve Waters was my friend, business partner, and mentor. So I remember 15 years ago, he helped me get into property investing, and he helped me grow my investment portfolio, my own personal one. I remember walking up the stairs at Ridges Parramatta, and there he was for the first time. And he looked me in the eye, shook my hand, and he said, "Welcome. Think you're going to get a lot out of tonight." Well, more than you know, my friend. I remember also that he and I had quite a few memorable moments. One in particular has always stuck in my mind, and that was the time that he and I fought off this crazy tradesman who was trying to do us some harm. And that, to me, really epitomized Steve. He was loyal, caring, and just a generous guy in general. So he was also my business partner in our mortgage business, and in our steering committee meetings, he would be so buoyant all the time. He would have all these new ideas. He would say, oh, guys, we should investigate this niche and, oh, let's try this idea. And he had all these great ideas. Steve, you will be missed, my friend. Thanks for everything.
After working with Steve for the past 18 years, he'd become like my goofy big brother. He was the office prankster. He always had lame jokes. But the important part was he always had us laughing. Then there was the inspiring Steve, the one who challenged us to believe in ourselves, to take risks and to grow as people. He was genuinely always there to offer guidance and support because he just cared about his people. He always found a way to connect with someone, whether it was through a shared love of fishing or talking about boats or talking about the time he managed a cattle station out in Bourke or was on the rowing team at boarding school. He just always found a way. And I believe in life, if we're lucky enough, we'll have a handful of people that will forever leave a mark on our hearts. And for me, Steve was one of those people. And it's ironic because he would actually hate all this fuss. He didn't even like celebrating his birthday at work unless it was someone bringing him a pavlova. And if someone in the office ever got upset, he was the first person to bring them a tea or a coffee, ask if they were okay, and then he'd quickly retreat back to his office. He constantly reminded us never to take life too seriously, to always find joy in the moment or stage of life that we were in. And he changed my life in countless ways. His absence will leave a hole that words just can't fill. To have known him was truly a privilege. He's going to be so deeply missed and will forever remain a source of guidance and inspiration for us all. We'll miss you, Steve.
Nice one. Thanks. I'm very appreciative and conscious how tough it is for people to speak about something which is still very raw for many people and will be for some time. And sort of to my opening remarks around, you know, the action behaviours of someone who in many ways is a quiet hand in shaping this industry. And you can see there how he's touched so many different people. Vic, you know, it's tough. We've got to think about what next for us on this podcast. Absolutely. And how we advance it. And we've had some great ideas there. I personally feel as though I haven't given Steve too much of a hard time as I normally would in this podcast. But, you know, I got to play it fair these days because he can't come back to me.
That's it.
With any sort of scathing remark and put down, which no doubt he would have plenty of them for this particular podcast. But I've really enjoyed having this discussion, mate. It's we're now sort of a month or so after his passing. And, you know, this water's gone under the bridge that we've needed to. But for those of you who might not know of Steve's passing, I hope this doesn't come as a shock. I know you've communicated widely with your client base and given some sense of and to the continuity of people's work with Right Property Group. Everything has changed, but nothing has really changed. You and your team remain committed to supporting Australian property investors as Steve would have wanted you to.
Absolutely. And the systems and procedures that have been put in with his help is a testament to that, where the journey for every client is continuing as if he's still there. And certainly also in terms of knowing that he'll be sadly missed in the office where he was the larrikin in the office. He was the practical joker. So perhaps now I need to step up and become that.
Maybe. You're going to have to find some charisma, Victor.
I know, right?
Don't know where you're going to get that from, but no, Steve had it in droves. But I know how raw it is still for your team, and our thoughts go out to everyone at RPG as they continue to normalize life again, which will take some time.
It does.
But we'll keep pushing ahead with the podcast, and I do enjoy catching up with you, mate. I reckon we're due a trip out to Campbelltown, go down memory lane at some point.
Oh, I think we should.
You know, and see if there's anyone wants to come along with us. Maybe we can do something out there. It'd be quite good. But thanks for coming in, mate. I do enjoy catching up I look forward to, you know, bringing in some guests to continue to do the great work that is this podcast and me sort of drawing out all those, you know, years of guidance and professionalism that you and Steve have had. And, you know, we'll continue that march forwards. That's Victor Kumar, Director of Right Property Group. This is Property Investing Insights. I'm Phil Tarrant, co-host. We'll be back again next time. Until then, bye-bye.
The information featured in this podcast is general in nature and does not take into consideration your financial situation or individual needs and should not be relied upon. Before making any investment, insurance, tax, property, or financial planning decision, you should consult a licensed professional who can advise whether your decision is appropriate for you. Guests appearing on this podcast may have a commercial relationship with the companies mentioned.